Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Good morning. Y'all doing okay? How about up in the balcony? Y'all doing okay? How about on the floor? Y'all doing all right? How about this side over here? Y'all doing okay? I bet y'all look good. I can't see y'all. It's so bright up here, but I bet y'all look good. Well, we're going to finish out the series called Relational Intelligence. How many of you got something out of the last 3 weeks? And last week we heard from Pastor Eugene and Miss Heidi on courageous conversations. How many had some courageous conversations? How many still working on that courage part? You ain't got to the conversation yet. You're working on the courage. And last week was good. I want to build on last week. And I want to talk about something that's really important. In fact, I read an article in the New York Times. It was called Ruffled Feathers was the name of the article. And this article goes on to say that every person in this room deals with one issue. And that issue will cause more sleepless nights than any other issue. That issue causes more divorces than any other thing on the planet. It causes more stress. It causes more problems at work. It causes more problems at home, and it's all the same issue. So I thought we ought to talk about that issue. How many know we all got issues? Come on, tell your neighbor, you got some issues. Say, yeah, I'm sitting next to you. That issue is called conflict. Woo! How many would admit that you have conflict in your life? We all have conflict. Some of us have conflict with our spouses, some with our kids, some with our parents, some with friends, some at work, some at church. Conflict is just all around us. And if we want to sleep well, and if you want to put that head on the pillow and go to sleep and eliminate stress, we have to learn how to resolve conflict. When I say resolve conflict, here's what I'm talking about. How to work it out. And that's hard because nobody ever taught you how to work it out. They told you how to deal with it, go deal with it, but they never told you what to do with it. There's no class in school on how to work it out. And so we've gone through life not knowing how to work it out. And that's why people I talk to every week, 47 years old, and talking about divorce. By the way, the number one reason for divorce in America is because people say they're incompatible. Can I just help you out? There's no such thing as incompatibility in marriage. That's a term made up by divorce lawyers to justify that you couldn't work it out. We're all incompatible because we're all different. And because we're all different, we're all going to have conflict. And so I just want to talk about what the Bible says about this conflict and what to do with it. So if you have your Bibles or your devices, we're going to put the scripture on the board. I'm going to read one scripture to you this morning, found in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is preaching something he calls the Beatitudes. In the middle of it, he says this. Blessed are the peace, what? The peacemakers. How many of you want some peace in your life? For they will be called the children of God. Blessed are the peace, say aloud, makers. I want to preach a message to you this morning simply entitled, What You Making? Come on, ask your neighbor, say, What You Making? Tell them, I don't know yet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of this word. God, we declare today that, Lord, we will walk out of here knowing how to be a peacemaker. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we know that it's your word that changes us. So we ask today, Lord, change us from the inside out. May we never be the same, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Blessed are the peace makers. Notice it doesn't say blessed are the peace keepers. Too many people want to go through life keeping the peace. Well, I'm just going to keep the peace. I ain't going to say nothing. I don't want to ruffle no feathers. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm a peace keeper. Guess what? Peace keepers don't get blessed. Peacemakers do. Blessed are the peace makers. In conflict, we have to learn the art of making peace. Why? Because you don't stumble upon peace. You can't make peace just magically appear. You can't just wish it into space. If you want peace in your life, you have to make it. Come on, say, you got to make it. We have two young children. My daughter turned 9 last week. My son's about to be 11. And parents, help me out. We're teaching our children how not to be finicky eaters. Yeah. Because if it was up to my children, they would eat Kraft macaroni and hot dogs and chicken fingers every night. Every night. And early in our marriage, you know, our kids, you know, there's times when you parent your kids and there's times when your kids parent you. How many know what I'm talking about? And so when we were earlier in our parenting days, Rachel found herself sometimes, y'all, she was making 3 different meals. Like she was cooking like baked chicken for us. And then like, you know, Tucker wanted a grilled cheese and Savannah wanted hot dogs. And then we got a little older and a little more wise. We're trying to teach our kids some lessons. So now my wife makes 1 meal. And sometimes, you know, she'll make something that the kids may not like. Like she'll make some Brussels sprouts and some baked chicken. And they'll look at her and they'll say, I don't want Brussels sprouts. I don't want baked chicken. I want a grilled cheese. And my little sweet wife will look at my kids and she will cock her head sideways like this and her eyes will get kind of cross-eyed. And she will say, you will get what I make. Listen to me. In your home, you get what you make. And you cannot eat off the plate of peace if you're not willing to make it. And what I've noticed is that everybody wants peace, but few are willing to put in the work to make it. Listen to me. What you make is what you get. If all you do is make trouble, guess what you get? If all you do is make a mess, guess what you get? If all you do is make hell, guess what you get? But if you learn how to make peace, guess which plate you get to eat from? You get to eat from the plate of peace. Blessed are the peace makers. Our planet needs peacemakers. Our community, listen to me, needs peacemakers. Why? Because we live in a world full of conflict. By the way, the word conflict comes from a Latin word, conflictus, which simply means to strike. It's almost like a viper striking. And every time there's conflict, it's people, it's groups, it's races, it's sexes, it's countries, it's nations, it's the political parties, and all they're doing is striking. Just think about all the striking that goes on. Get on Facebook. Just look at the striking. Come on, is there not striking going on social media? People, just nasty. Striking going on political parties, striking between races and religions and sexes, generations. These old people, these young people just get some pants that fit them and used to be too tight. Now they're too short. Now they can't make up their mind. Just all this hostility and conflict going on between families and spouses, and our lives are polluted with conflict. And some of us, we've been living in conflict for days, some for weeks, some for years, some for decades, and we just sweep it under the rug because we don't want to deal with it. I'm not going to say nothing. I don't want to talk about it. And our lives are polluted with conflict, and we wonder why we don't feel well and why we're stressed and depressed and have anxiety and we can't sleep at night. And it has nothing to do with what's really going on the inside of your body, but it has more to do with what's going on the inside of your mind and your soul. And we need this. And here's why you need this. Here's why I need this. Write this down. Why is conflict resolution so important? Conflict resolution needs to be important to me because it's important to God. I'm going to give you straight Bible today. This ain't my opinions. This ain't a self-help message. This is the straight word of God. Watch this. I made mention of this 2 weeks ago, but I want to bring it out. Matthew chapter 5. It says this. Therefore, if you are offering your gift, how many know that's your money, your tithe, your offering, at the altar, what happens at the altar is a form of worship. And you remember your brother or sister has something against you. That's conflict. Watch this. Leave your worship and your money and first go and reconcile the conflict. Those are Jesus' words saying that it's more important for us to resolve conflict than it is to even give money and worship at the church. That's some strong words. So I just want to give you, in the next 20 to 25 minutes, I want to give you 6 steps. These are very practical. 6 steps of how to resolve conflict. Why is this important? Because you're either walking into conflict, you're in conflict, or you're walking out of it. You need to know how to deal with this. I'm going to warn you, this is not a fun message to preach. It may not be a fun one to receive, but it is necessary and it is hard. You with me? Everybody say this. I love the little preacher. He's a sweet little man. Step one. Here you go. Start with you. What's that mean? It means you make the first move. You make the first move. Why? Because in order for you to have it, you got to make it. You can't expect to receive peace if you're not willing to make it. It's got to start with you. Even if they are 97% wrong and you are only 3% wrong, start with you. Watch this. Book of Romans, Apostle Paul says this. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. You remember that was their culture. You do it to me, I'm gonna do it back. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. By the way, we're kind of going back to that culture, aren't we? You talk about me, I'm gonna talk about you. You post about me, I'm gonna post about you. Striking, it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He says this, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now check this out, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We far too often make it dependent upon the other person. Well, if he wants to apologize, if he wants to make it right, he knows where to find me. Girl, Tina knows my number. If Tina wants to come crawling back, I might answer the phone. She's the one that wronged me. She's the one that talked about me. And what we do is we put all the onus on the other person. But the Apostle Paul says, as far as it depends on you, if you want peace, then it starts with you. And then he says, do not be overcome by evil, because that's what they did, eye for an eye. But he says, but be overcome evil with good. Paul's saying, as far as it depends upon you, it's got to start with you. It doesn't matter if you're the offended person or the offender or a little bit of both. You make the first move. It's got to start with you. Now it's. I'll be real honest with you. When it starts with me, that means I got to face what's going on, and I got to admit there's some issues. Now, early in my marriage, I'm still working on this. You're going to hear some more of this a little bit. I didn't do real well with that. And what I would do is I would just pretend like there was no issue. And so my wife would tell me these words, 4 words, that freak me out. We need and I pretended like I didn't hear a thing. We need to talk. I'll be right back. Y'all, I would get in my pickup truck. I would pretend like I'm going to get milk. We were living in Alabama. They didn't have parishes. They had counties. I would drive 6 counties over. And then I would come back, and I pretended like I forgot what she said. Why? Because I didn't want to face the issues because I didn't want to start with me. You have to start with you. You have to face it. And maybe you're like me, and if I just leave for 4 hours and I'll come back and everything will be great because I heard my grandma say that time heals all things. Can I help you out? Time heals absolutely nothing. You know what heals all things? The proper treatment. If time healed all things, you would never have to go to the doctor. You could just sit in the waiting room all day and be like, oh, 6 hours, I'm good, see y'all later. It doesn't work that way. I mean, just think of it. If time healed all things, you can get shot in the side with a shotgun. And your friend's like, bro, let me call the ambulance. Like, nah, I'm just gonna sit this one out, give me a couple days. Time heals all things. There's a 2-day wound. It doesn't work that way. What you don't confront never changes. What you don't face never gets fixed. Hello? You have to face it. And the way you face it is by starting with yourself. Number one, good. You good with that one? Nobody got up and left yet. Okay, number two, it's going to get harder. Step two, after you own it, number two, you got to take it to God. Whoo! See, when you're in conflict, let me say it this way. You take it somewhere. You do. I've seen your Facebook posts. You take it somewhere. You have to take it to God. Why? In every relationship, you figure out which one you are. There's two animals. In every relationship, there's skunks and there's turtles. You know when a skunk is upset. You know when a skunk's mad. Because you smell it. They spray all over everything. They will get on Facebook and let everybody know. Tina goes to the shopping market. I don't even know who Tina is today. Tina, I'm sorry, I'm picking on you. I've said your name 3 times already. And she sees Joanne. And Joanne says, how's Harry doing? Oh, girl, he act like he got it all together in front of you. Let me tell you something about that man that I live with. That man comes to church every week, got his Sunday best on. Let me tell you something. That man is sloppy. He is sloppy when he wakes up. He's sloppy when he goes to bed. He thinks I'm just here to be his mate. I come in this drawers, sprawled out all over the floor. Our bathroom ain't nothing but dirty drawers. I tell you what, that is the messiest man. He comes in the church, bless God, like he's got everything. That man is a mess, girl. And that's what skunks do. They'll take one thing. It doesn't matter who it is. They just spray everybody. And then you walk away stinking too because Tina told you about Harry. Then there's people, and I'll be honest, I'm this next one. I'm not a skunk. I'm a turtle. Y'all know what turtles do, huh? They go in their shell, Donatello. What's wrong? Nothing. I'm good. I'm good. No, what's wrong? I'm good. I'm a man. I'm good. What's bothering? Nothing. Nothing's bothering me. I'm good. And then she leaves. And as she leaves, you start having the conversation that you wish you had with her. You start having it in your shell. I tell you what, if that woman ever talks to me like that again, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. She thinks I'm mad. Right? She ain't seen mad yet. I'm about to pop out of this Ninja Turtle shell and I'm a kung fu kick her. In either instance, we're processing with the wrong people. Skunks process with everybody. They don't care who you are, they'll spray on you. Turtles just process with themselves. And both are wrong. You have to learn how to process with God. So when there is conflict, I take it to God and get his wisdom. Do you know that if you ask God for his wisdom, he will give it to you? James 1:5 says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you. God, I don't know what to tell this woman. I don't know what to say. I don't know when to say it. Help me. Give me the wisdom to do this. And according to James 1:5, when you stop processing with yourself and everybody else, God will speak to you about what to do. You have to make the first move. You have to take it to God. And when you take it to him, he will give you the how and the when and the place. And so you make the phone call. You send the text. You walk in and say, okay, I'm ready to talk. Let's talk. Here's what's getting even harder, okay? Number three, when you sit down to talk, what do you talk about? You got to own your part. Say what? That's right. Admit your part. Admit your faults. I didn't say their faults. I said your faults. Don't you dare start with what they did wrong. You start with what you did wrong. There's no accusations. There's no assumptions. You own your part. Why? Owning your part is healing. Did you know that? That when you own your part and you just confess your part, you're healed. Some of you have been so sleepless and so frustrated and so anxious about some conflict that's happening because you've had conversations in your mind of what they're going to say when you say it. But if you just go in there and say, you know what? I was wrong. Do you know what happens to you? The weight of the world comes off of you. That's what Scripture tells us. James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, therefore, confess your sins or your faults to each other and pray for each other that you may be. When you confess your sins to God, you're forgiven. But when you confess your faults to your friends, you're healed. You're healed. So instead of accusing and blaming and finding fault, we first have to identify the faults in ourselves. Well, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, why should I start with me? The problem's with them. I wouldn't be in this mess if Tina didn't yell at me. I mean, the only reason we fought is because of what she said. She caused it. The conflict is because of her. Not according to the Bible. This isn't my opinion. This is Scripture. James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within? So the real enemy ain't Tina. The real enemy is in me. I like to say it like I'm an Italian. The real enemy is in me. So we have to admit our faults, say I dropped the ball, I messed up, I responded wrong, I shouldn't have said that. You have to own what's yours, okay? You with me so far? Three steps so far, we still good? Okay, it's getting harder, I promise you. Each step's a little harder. After you own your part, this next part is so difficult. Sometimes we get to number three and we just stop, okay? When you get to number four, you just gotta shut up and listen to their hurts. This is hard because usually after we own our part, there's a tendency for me to defend my action. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Like, I'm okay with owning my part, but there's something in me that I want you to know why I did what I did. There's some justification, and I want to give you some excuses of why I responded the way I did to let you know that you have some fault in this too, and I probably wouldn't have responded the way that I responded, though I'm sorry for it, if you wouldn't have said what you said first. So sometimes I'll say something like, I'm so sorry. I know I was out of line for getting upset with you, but the only reason I said what I said is because you're an idiot. Like, I probably wouldn't say that. So listen to me. When you get to step four, don't do that. Just own your part and shut your mouth. And that's it. Just own your part and then listen. See, what we want to do is admit our wrong, but justify it by their wrong. And when we do that, both parties become more angry. Come on, you ever start a conversation and then like you think it's going well, but then they bring something up and you think, oh no, they didn't. You're not, you've canceled every word they said. You're just now waiting for the opportunity to strike back. And so the anger rises up in you. The more they speak, the more angry you get. The more you speak, the more angry they get. How many of you ever been in a situation where conflict just turned to anger? Here's the solution. It's called shutting your mouth. Watch this. James chapter 1, verse 19. Just go read the whole book of James. It's amazing. Everyone should be quick to, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James is saying there is a progression. That if we're quick to listen and slow to speak, we'll be slow to anger. Which means if you quit talking, you don't get mad. But on the other hand, if all you do is talk, you'll talk yourself into anger. So you just listen to them. Why? Because listening is healing. It's healing to them and it's healing to you. Why? Everybody wants to be heard. So you just listen. And you listen. Because they're speaking some truth to you too. You spoke some truth to them, but they're speaking some truth to you. Now listen, you can't just leave at that point, because the reason why you are where you are is because there was an issue, right? He cussed you out. He lied to you. She talked about you. Whatever it is, there was an issue. You can't just say, I'm good, you good, and not talk about, you have to talk about the issue, right? You can't sweep the issue under the rug. You got to talk about the issue. We got to talk about what happened. Which brings me to number 5. Pastor Eugene and Ms. Heidi hit on this last week, but I want to bring a little bit further out. You got to speak the truth in love. Now, how many of you know there is a big difference between speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I had a friend a few weeks ago. We were having a conversation, and he brings up the flaws of another one of our friends. And I just gave him, you know, the pastor eyes. We just kind of look at him like he's stupid. And I just told him he's stupid. I'm like, bro, are you serious? And this was his response about a comment he made. Let me know if you've ever heard this statement. He says, well, I just tell it like it is. I just tell it like it is. Like it's a badge of honor. I just tell it like it is. That's why nobody likes being around you, because you just spew your nasty on everybody. Just telling it like it is. Don't be proud of that. That just means you're a jerk, telling it like it is. Nobody wants to hear it like it is all the time. All that tells me is all you care about is your feelings and nobody else's. All you care about is you being right, nobody else. Telling it like it is. It's okay to tell the truth, but can you tell it like it is in love? Do that. Add with love to the end of it. I bet that would change not what you say, but how you say it. Because if you came to me and say, you know what? I just tell it like it is with love. That's a whole lot different than, well, I just tell it like it is. Add with love. Add with love. Paul said, instead, we will speak the truth in love. Watch this. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, which means you are never more like Christ than when you speak the truth in love. Speak the truth, yes, but speak it in love. Parents, let's speak the truth in love. If all we do is yell at our kids, listen to me, they hear your emotion, not your words. Savannah and I, my little girl, we went on a daddy-daughter date night a few months back. I took her to her favorite restaurant, Olive Garden. Yeah, breadsticks are good. And we're sitting there, we get the little salad, and I got the little tongs in there, because I'm taking all the black olives out, because black olives are just nasty, and I'm taking them out, and I'm like, baby, I love you, you're my second favorite date, your mama's my first, but you're my second. And there's a little table next to us, and the little girl's about Savannah's age, and she spills her milk on the table, and the mom just starts berating this little girl about how stupid she is. And my daughter almost starts crying, and she looks at me and she says, Daddy, she must be mad. And I looked at my daughter and I said, baby, no matter how mad I ever get with you, I promise you this, I will never talk to you that way. Why? Because all that girl heard was anger. All she heard was emotion. And when we don't tell the truth in love, when we yell the truth, all they hear is emotion. Husbands and wives, if all you do is yell at your spouse, all they hear is your emotion, not your words. Why? Because it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Paul says, speak truth. The truth is, yes, he hurt you. The truth is, they did something. But notice this, speak it in love. You know, maybe your spouse didn't take out the garbage. Maybe they didn't do the dishes. You didn't do the dishes. What's wrong with you? You didn't take out the garbage. You're garbage. Your mom's garbage. I don't know. There's probably somebody in another church that said that. So you speak the truth, but you do it in love. How do you do it in love? Love simply means this, that you attack the issue, never the person. See, what you said hurt me. What you did made me feel insecure. I'm not calling you out on your past failures. I'm not talking about your mama. I'm not talking about what you did 2 years ago. Why? Because when I give you truth, but I say it in a loving way, truth wrapped in love is received. You ever got truth that wasn't wrapped in love? You get standoffish. I preach truth to you every week. Pastor Eugene preaches truth to you every week. How many know sometimes truth, it hurts? So if we preach it in love, it can be received so we can change. But imagine, let me just flip the script. What if I got up here and I told you some truth, but I said it in an unloving way? What if I grabbed the mic, or what if I was just an angry preacher and I just looked at you like this and I said, you're all going to hell. Every single one of you, I know what you're doing walking up in here like you all holy. I know what you did last night. I know what you did last week coming up in here all proper. You were backing that thing up in the club last night. Don't come up in here like that. You're all going to hell. Let me tell you about hell. Hell's got the weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to spend eternity there if you don't turn. Turn or burn. It's funny to you because we don't do that. But if you walked in for the first time and that's the way we preach, you're like, well, dude, what's this? They're smoking, man. But you know, I can say the same thing in a different way and wrap it in love. What if I said something like this? You know what? Everyone in this place has fallen short. I've fallen short. I fall short every day. Thank God for the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, because we've all blown it. We all deserve hell. But God loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. You have no idea how much God loves you. God loves you so much that he tried to rescue you. He rescued you from the pits of hell that we all deserve. He sent his son, and he wrapped him up in swaddling clothes, and he grew up in a sinless life, and he went to a cross at 33 years old, and on that cross, he married us on that cross. He took our sin, our shame, and our guilt. And if you would just receive the free love of Jesus, he will change everything. He has promises for you. He wants to change your life and your kids and your marriage. And all you got to do is, we got a loving God, just receive his love. You see the difference? One's wrapped in love. I'm closing. Vic, help me out. What number are we on? 6? I'm just seeing if y'all paying attention. Oh, not this point. This one's tough. I think we've hit on this point for 4 weeks now. It must be important to forgive and let go. This is really hard when you've been hurt. I remember when I was in third grade, there was a sign over my teacher's desk, and it said, "The mind is a terrible thing to waste." Y'all ever seen that one? Sometimes when you've been hurt, the mind is a terrible thing of waste. Because there's just garbage of the past hurts. And you remember. Isn't it funny how vividly you can remember the sights, the sounds, for some of you, even the smells. You can remember exactly what they were wearing, and you resent them. You know what the word resent means? It means to play over and over and over. It's like our minds on repeat. But I'm glad that the Apostle Paul gives us an illustration of how to do this, because it's not easy, but it is doable. And he says, bear with one another. Why would he say that? Because everybody you see is facing a battle that you know nothing about. And maybe the reason why they hurt you is because they haven't fully learned how to grasp and deal with the hurts that they have themselves. And he says, bear with them. Give them some grace. Bear with them. And forgive them. If any of you have grievance against someone. And then he says these words. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I'm so thankful that when the Lord forgave me, he forgave me. 100%. It wasn't 37%. It wasn't 58%. It just wasn't the little things I did wrong. He forgave me. And what I love about the Lord is that he doesn't bring them back up either. He doesn't remind me the next time I fall short, well, that's just like you. You did the same thing 6 years ago. Here we are again. No. His grace is sufficient. His mercies are new every day. And I know that we're not the Lord, and I know it's not as easy for us. But it's something to strive towards and try to obtain. And I really feel that even in my study, that the Lord really put it on my heart that there's many of you in here that your biggest conflict right now is with family. I'm talking about husbands and wives. I'm talking about parents and children. I'm talking about siblings. And if I can end this message with anything, I just want to tell you this. Family is worth it. Family is worth it. Family is worth it. Your children are worth it. Your sister is worth it. Your mom and dad is worth it. Your spouse is worth it. They're worth it. We don't just walk away from marriages because times get tough. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. We don't say, forget you, I'll take my stuff, you take yours. It's worth it. We don't write children off just because we don't agree with their decisions. That family is worth it. We don't ignore our in-laws and say, you're annoying. Of course they're annoying. They're your in-laws. You'll be in-laws one day too, and you'll be annoying too. But family is worth it. And maybe that's why Jesus uses the illustration and the analogy that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called my children. I have two children. If you see my children, you've seen me. My son looks just like me without a beard. He looks like me. What's Jesus saying? When you learn to make peace, you look like the Father. And what our community needs more than anything right now is not a bunch of people who say they come to church. What this community needs more than anything is a bunch of people who look like their Father. And we never look more like our Father than when we learn to make peace. Amen. Do you receive that today? Would you bow your head with me? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. You know how you're a child? You're born into a family. That's the only way you can become a child. Not everybody is God's children. I know you think that. We're all his creation. But there's only one way you can become his child. That's to be born into his family. Well, aren't we born in his family when we're born? No. You're born into the human race when you're born. That's why Jesus says these words in John chapter 3, that no man can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. No man can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. What does that mean? It means that we're all born with a sinful nature. I told you, every single one of us in this room has fallen short. We've all have. The wages of sin that we are born with is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. How do we receive that gift of God? It starts with repentance. Owning your part. A, B, C. A, just admitting, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've fallen short. A, you just admit it. You own your part. You own your flaws. You own your sin. B, you believe. Believe what? That Christ alone became the sin bearer for you and your sin. On the cross at Calvary, he took your sin, your shame, and your guilt, and he died for it. There is no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He was our substitute. You believe that. And see, you confess him. The book of Romans says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from yourself. Saved from misery. And today, if you're saying, Pastor, that's me today, I want to be born again. I want to become a child of God. I'm going to pray a prayer with you right where you are in your seat. And if you mean all three of these things, if you're really admitting and you want to live a life of repentance and you want to believe that Christ died in your place and you're confessing him as your Lord and Savior, he will save you right now. There's nothing special about the prayer I'm going to pray. It's just you saying, I receive. This is a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. He just gives it to you, and all you have to do is receive it. And that's you all over this place and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be born again. I want to become a child of God. Would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand all over this place so I know who I'm praying for today? Thank you very much. In the balcony, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Very good. 29, I see you in the balcony. Church, we're going to pray out loud with 29 people. We're asking God to come into their heart. Can we all add our faith with theirs and all pray this prayer out loud like it's the very first time you prayed it? Will you say this with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me, so I will not have to go. And you rose on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, in a relationship with your Father. And today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give all those that pray that prayer today a big, big hand clap. God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.